Wait,
So,
hold on. I want to make sure Mylan is still awake.
I don't think she is. She's gone.
Hey, girl. Hey, girl, you there? She fell asleep.
I was muted. I was muted. I was like trying to find the mute button. I'm like, I'm She's here.
Muted and snoring. She's like, what? Yeah, unmute.
I won't lie. I'm really comfortable right now, but I'm still awake.
All right, welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com, where we talk about stuff like games and comics. And this is episode number 108, and it's special because Mylan's here.
Yay!
And Hillary's back.
And Hillary's back.
Yes.
Hooray!
She's moved into her castle.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm staying at her castle.
This is crazy. So how did this happen? How are you in California? How did you actually get there?
By plane.
What? You can fly to California?
This is crazy.
I know.
Science.
No, I consider taking a boat.
Did you just say I consider? You did say I consider.
I did.
This is going to be a good one, guys.
Yeah, it's really early here, guys.
Let's do the rundown.
What are we doing today, Scott?
I'm not exactly sure. There's a lot of words on this page, but we'll talk about what we've been up to. We're going to maybe preview some E3 announcements. We're going to talk about some web series that are coming back, some panels that are coming to Geek Girl Con. Ash played State of Decay, which is a new Xbox Live Arcade title. We played a tabletop game called Food Fight, and I checked out a game on Steam, an indie game called Gunpoint. And then in our Naquato, and this Naquato, for anyone that listened to last episode, did meet our gold standard. So,
yes.
yes. This question is, what is your most outlandish E3 2013 prediction? And we got some good responses, and I'm excited.
Should be a good one.
Yeah, indeed.
There are some funny ones in there, too.
So why don't we let the ladies go first? Because we are gentlemen.
Yeah, ladies, Aww. What have you been up to?
Yeah.
Mylan, why don't you go first? What the hell was that?
I think he was trying to do the hey girl, but it came out like really wrong.
Yeah, it sounded like a burp.
It did.
It really did. So, okay, so I've been traveling for the past couple of weeks. I went to Boulder first, and then I came out to San Francisco. And Hillary and I have been hanging out. We went on a cruise around the San Francisco Bay last night, which was really fun. And really what we've been focusing on is kind of doing our own little West Coast Writers Conference where we're working on our books. But you guys, seriously, being the first of the group to see Hillary's new place,
yeah,
it is even bigger than you would imagine. It has two elevators.
Two yes. elevators.
Yes, and they're attended 24 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Did you get all of
That's
those
always
nails?
Awkward.
Did all the nails like get hammered down into the dock? Is that a problem anymore?
Don't go out on the dock with no shoes on. We've learned that lesson. Okay.
Yes.
The thing is, though, you missed the dumbwaiter.
So three elevators.
I guess, technically three elevators.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Just kidding.
Oh, that's not true.
That part isn't true. The rest of it is 100% factually accurate, but that part is not true.
I'm just gonna let that go.
So what else? Anything else exciting? Just traveling, having fun?
Are there actually boulders in Boulder, Colorado?
Yeah, it's really pretty. And yes, there are boulders. And you have to, I don't know. Dude, it is so
Get this
early.
Girl's coffee.
I'm trying to drink my coffee. It's seriously, we had this cruise last night and it was like really nice and it was really pretty. And then we stayed up super late talking about books and now I am toast. So that's
cool. You'll wake up. It always happens.
And I also, we do have some news about Geek Girl Con panels, but we'll wait until we put that in the news. So that's the other big thing that we've got going. So I've got going. So Hillary.
Yeah.
You can go now.
Oh, thanks for your permission.
I'm so tired.
Okay, so
what?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm exhausted, but that's, you know, nothing new. Let's see. I have been hanging out with Mylan, as Mylan already mentioned, but I moved into my house, which is not a mansion. It is a nice house, but it's not a mansion. And I've been unpacking boxes. I'm waiting for the joke, Ash.
I'm being okay today.
Perfect. Gentlemen.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Yeah, and I've been working with my Lynn on my book and listening to some ideas about her book, which is going to be really, really fantastic.
Cool.
And yes, we're plotting to take over the world by way of panel submissions.
Hey, that's awesome.
Why not?
Yeah,
the place awesome. We're starting.
We will that's be there cheering you on, for sure. Well, that's awesome. Well, congratulations on the new house and congratulations on books and being awesome. And we're excited for you.
And welcome back. Jeez.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks.
I know. I feel like it's been forever.
Yeah, it has been too long. But you're back.
Yes.
In full effect.
I can't wait for Hillary's book to come out because it's so good. It's and I think it's going to maybe come out relatively soon, wouldn't you say?
I think so. We'll see what happens.
I know.
It's good stuff.
I'm ready for
book
two.
I know, Scott. Actually, Scott actually read it too. I mean, it's changing a little bit, Scott, because, you know, boot camp is writer's boot camp.
Yes.
So, no, I have to say, everybody who's listening, Scott is the man for reading my book.
He is.
He is. Yeah. He's better than all of us.
Happy
he
to
is.
Help.
It's true. Not all of us. I read it.
God.
Ouch. I can't read, so. I never learned.
Anyway.
Wow.
Hey, so I know. So Ash, how are things going?
Good. Work ended for me about a week ago, which is cool. So
hooray.
I've been catching up and starting to get some stuff done. I started writing a D&D campaign for
you?
Fun. Yeah.
Do I get to play writing. Now?
Yeah, you'll get to play. You'll get to play. So I started writing a D&D campaign, which has been cool. I've been watching a lot of documentaries. I've been trying to watch one a day just to kind of learn some stuff. Watch some interesting ones. I have a huge list here. I'm not going to go through them all because we're already pressed for time. But quite possibly one of the strangest ones I watched was called Shut Up, Little Man.
It's amazing.
And Matt's seen this one. This is about a bunch of guys in the 80s, actually maybe in the 90s, 80s or 90s, that recorded their neighbors having arguments. And these arguments that their neighbors had turned into these underground, like, underground, like Jerky Boys, cassette sensations, I guess, in San Francisco. And they became really, really popular. And then all of a sudden, the characters that were arguing actually like had cartoons done about them. And it's a weird little story, but it's really a fun documentary. The rest are kind of dark. Watched one called Hitler's Children, which is about not really literally Hitler's children, but it's about all the SS officers and what happened to their kids and their grandkids and their nieces and nephews. That one was kind of cool. But Netflix has like literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of documentaries on their streaming. So I've just been kind of picking out stuff I wouldn't normally watch and trying to watch one a day. So that's been kind of cool. And I picked up State of Decay, which we'll talk about in the review section. So
I was surprised you did that. I really want to hear about it.
State of Decay?
Yeah, I can't wait.
I think you'll like it if you play it. So Matt, what have you been doing?
Well, you talked about documentaries so much, and it's been a while since I watched any, so I started watching a few. One that I watched last night, and I didn't realize it's a series that ran on PBS, is called America in Primetime. And it's just kind of the history of television, but it's featuring all of the writers, creators, and producers of like Arrested Development and Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld and Mary Tyler Moore Show. And it's like everybody from Ron Howard to Rob Reiner to Carl Reiner and Larry David. And it's amazing. So, but it's done really well. And each episode takes a theme. So the first one was kind of about masculinity and how men have changed from the 50s through like now on TV and kind of in life. And then the second one's about the kind of opposite of that and follows the path of women from TV, about how they started as these like basically fake perfect housewives and now they're kind of like positions of power and what they do, and it was really good. So cool. Then the third one's about misfits and it's the funniest one. It pretty much features George Costanza the entire time and it's hilarious.
That sounds amazing. I would definitely want to see that.
Yeah, check it out. It's good. It's called America in Primetime. And I think, I don't know how many episodes there are. I watched the first four and they were all really good. I also cracked open Dance Central 3. Mm. Scott, you'd be proud of me.
Tell me about this. How's that going?
It's good. I danced my way through the 70s and halfway through the 80s.
Nice.
And then I wanted to die from being sweating and being overexhausted.
It's awesome.
It is the craziest workout I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, it's great, man.
But and then Melissa joined in. She started dancing too.
Oh,
and,
awesome. That's really cool.
Good times. Yeah, I bought it for her. And then I was like, she was like in a crappy mood last night. And I'm like, I'm going to dance. And I threw on Dance nice. Central and just made a fool of myself for 2 hours.
Aw.
That's adorable.
Super cool. Totes cool.
And then I do have your book loaded, Hillary, but I have not started reading it on my Kindle Paperwhite yet. But
you got a Kindle Paperwhite?
I did. It is the best thing ever created.
Really?
I love it.
So I have
it's
to get
amazing.
One now?
Yes, okay. You do.
I kind of want one now, too, after hearing him talk about it.
You can, so like, because it is, so the Kindle Paperwhite is the regular Kindle, like, mm-hmm. e-reader,
yeah.
But it's backlit. And the backlight on it can be pretty bright for, like, if you're reading, like, in the sun and daytime and stuff, or wherever you might want it bright, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But at night in bed, if you turn all the lights off and you're reading, you can darken it all the way down to the bottom, and it's actually still technically on. But it's just mm-hmm. enough to like be able to read without straining or anything. Like it's perfectly lit to read, but without like glaring in your face. And it is amazing.
It's adjustable, right?
It's totally adjustable. Yeah. But I the other night I had it on and I was like, I kind of felt like it was still bright just because I hadn't had anything on next to it with it on. And I turned my iPad on and it was like as if the freaking sun lit up in my room compared to the paperwhite. Like the iPad was like, it was just like all light all over the room. And then I turned it off and the paperwhite's like this dim little backlight, but it's amazing. I love reading on it, and the refresh rate's super fast. So even though it's all touch, there's no buttons on it except for the power button, but it works perfectly well. Like it's awesome. I love it. I've been reading a ton on it. I'm reading a game called a book called Leviathan Wakes right now, which is really good.
Which was the book that we were supposed to start reading on our Goodreads like 2 years ago.
It was the one when I started the Goodreads. It was the book I chose for Goodreads, and then I never started it. And I think you did. No one else read it with us. So, but anyways, get it. It's an awesome device. But Scott, what have you been up to?
Cool. I am playing my summer game pile right now. So this included the game Syndicate, which I can't remember when it came out, but I think I bought it for like $14.
Yeah, that was on my game pile last year.
Yeah. It was interesting. It's like I didn't realize it was a first person shooter. I thought it was third person. All of the missions are really short, but it's kind of cool because it's got a science fiction angle and you can, you have abilities that essentially hack your enemies or whatever. So you can get them to fight on your side or commit suicide or, just explode or whatever. So the game you could probably complete in like 6 hours and then there's a multiplayer campaign, but the 6 hours that I did play was really fun and satisfying. So, I guess if you can get Syndicate for like $10, it's totally worth it.
Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it too.
Yeah.
Last year.
So, we also played some more Fuse.
We did.
That's fun. Really liking that game still. Definitely not a 4 out of 5. A 4 out of 10 rather.
No, I was like, what?
I was like, what?
4 out of 5
definitely
is not
good.
Definitely not a 4 out of 10 is what I meant to say. What else? I know I've been doing stuff. Like work has been picking up. Like
you had a birthday, man.
Yeah, Thursday was my birthday. That was pretty cool.
Yay,
happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks.
Dude.
I'll just keep fishing for that. I'll bring it up later, too. I'll be like, and it was my birthday.
We went to tell a quick story about your birthday. We went to a birthday dinner for you last night, and Ash and our other friends, Nick and Trong, got you cards. And they both drew on the front of them, which is amazing. Ash drew this amazing Akbar. And then was it Trong that drew the Scott Pilgrim, or was it Nick? Do you know?
I think it might have been Nick.
Was it Nick? Nick drew this amazing Scott Pilgrim cover. So there's Akbar. And then Nick drew Scott Pilgrim. And then
I think
they
that's
open
me
him
right
up
here. This
and
is me,
both...
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's you.
Aww.
It's you as Scott Pilgrim.
Yes.
And then they both were P-related cards and said the same exact thing on the inside. They both said, have a happy birthday.
What's that all about?
But what Ash's was a dog peeing and Trong and Nick's was a person. It was the weirdest thing.
Thanks.
I've never seen somebody get two P-related cards.
We all know that Scott likes pee.
He must have an aura. Yeah.
He likes to pee and he likes to get peed upon.
Yeah, I do have a bird bladder. Maybe that's just my Is that really a claim to fame? Can somebody claim that?
Yeah.
It's like the worst tiny bladder.
It's the worst X factor ever. X-power. It's my mutation.
Speaking of a lot of pee.
Yeah.
You know it's coming on, you know it's going on next week?
Wait, you want to try that again?
Yeah, I didn't do that well at all. I think it's because my Lynn has been totally like giving me performance anxiety on my segues.
Really?
Well, I segue all the time now for Hillary, like in person.
Like when you guys are saying
something. It's driving me nuts.
And I'm like, you know what else is fun? She's like, stop it.
Oh, I love it. That's great.
That's amazing.
Speaking of mashed potatoes.
You do have exactly. The best segues, though. We've been like missing them for the past couple episodes.
Aww. I feel like I've been filling in okay on those segues.
I'm terrible at them. I'll be like, you know what else is great? Crabs. Wait, that's wrong.
Are you saying that I help make the lineup better?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, you know what else is coming? Oh, damn it.
You know what Dude. Else might be messed up?
What's what? That?
Violin.
Oh.
I am afraid to say anything negative to Mylin right now.
I know.
What? I don't understand. I mean, I'm not.
Terrify me at the moment. That's all.
Well, you know, just don't cross me. It won't be fun.
For some reason, I thought Mylin was a morning person.
I kind of feel bad.
We
talked about not being morning people at PAX. I remember because one day we both not want to be there at all.
Yeah, I have a lot of trouble going to PAX East. PAX Prime is amazing for me because it's, you know, I live on the East Coast, and so it's 3 hours earlier. So I can get up early, but it's not actually early. My body knows it's not early. So it's really nice. But here, like, I've been traveling for long enough now, I'm totally on West Coast time. But you should know, since Hillary and I had some technical difficulties, we're actually in two separate rooms in her house right now, and I actually just went back to bed. So I'm lying in bed under the covers.
Two separate rooms or two separate wings?
Well, obviously, it's a separate wing. She wouldn't make me stay in the same wing. She wouldn't let me stay in the same wing as her, let's be honest. Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's cool because I have my own butler, so that's awesome.
Oh, that's good.
So
what's your butler's name?
Matt.
Pablo.
It's really awkward because it's like I get confused, but yeah, his name is Matt too.
So it's a bed cast now is what you're saying.
For me it is.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So the title of episode 108 will be In Bed with Mylin Barrows.
My body is ready. You know what else? Whoa. You know what else my body is ready for?
What's that?
News.
E3.
Yay!
I'm so proud.
So good.
That was a sick transition.
If I can be honest just for a second, I've actually been channeling Hillary when I'm writing my dissertation, when I need to like get from one paragraph to another.
No, you didn't.
Except I don't write, you know what else is interesting about mental models? Like I just kind of think about like how to make the transition and channel that.
I think next time you need to put in my body is ready.
Yeah.
So this podcast will come out and E3 will be in full session. We will not be there.
Really?
Yeah, we won't be there, but we are going to be reporting on E3 as it's happening. So we'll probably have little chat rooms and stuff set up so people can hang out with us.
Just little ones, though.
Little, very small. Like
tiny
chat rooms. Invite only.
Like 100 pixels by 100 pixels on your screen. That's it.
Exactly. But there's a lot of E3 news already kind of leaking out. And obviously, we're excited. This is where we're going to get to see a lot of the next gen stuff. You know, we'll finally get to see what all those exclusive titles are that Xbox is talking about, and we'll get to see PS4's exclusive titles and really get to see what the next year of gaming is going to be like. Also, we'll probably get to see what we get to play at PAX Prime, which is kind of exciting. So we're super excited. Some big news that's already leaked out for Metal Gear fans, people are very upset that David Hayter isn't going to be voicing Solid Snake this time around. But in a strange twist of events, it looks like Kiefer Sutherland is going to be voicing. And,
that's pretty awesome.
And mocapping Solid Snake.
Oh,
which
he's
is,
mocapping too?
Well, they're doing face mocap this time. So they have all the little nuggets on his face, and he's doing facial mocap for Solid Snake. So
that's cool.
Is this going to be like, is this like Ellen Page?
Oh, man.
It doesn't look.
Hillary's out.
Yeah.
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 Actually, my friend plays Meryl on Metal Gear Solid. I can't say it. She's not Ellen Page at all. She's in fact a completely separate person.
Oh, really? Because I thought Ellen Page was the female character in every game.
Oh,
it feels like it.
She's in The Last of Us, right?
Yeah.
Right. And Remember Me.
And Remember Me. Yeah.
Remember Me?
No.
No.
We bought Fuse, and I don't play enough console games right now.
I didn't buy it because
The
Last
time.
Of Us comes out on Friday.
Is
yeah,
it Friday?
I'm waiting for that.
Huh?
Man, is it Friday that it comes out?
Yeah, the 14th.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What else is coming from E3? So what we do know, Final Fantasy 15 is getting announced by Square. No one knows anything about it. People are very excited because it's going to be obviously a next gen Final Fantasy, and they're kind of there's a lot of hints that it may be going back to like its roots with more of a high fantasy and getting away from like the future tech stuff that they've been doing in recent years. So you might get something more akin to Final Fantasy IX for those of you that are Final Fantasy fans. There's going to be more on Watch Dogs, but I feel like I've already seen enough of Watch Dogs to know that I'll probably end up buying it. So I don't really need to see more.
I feel
but...
like this, ironically, would be a great time to release this game, given what's going on in the news
Prism.
Right now.
Yeah. Right?
I feel like there's a missed opportunity right now if you're making people wait until the fall.
And what
I'm
else?
I'm sure this news will continue.
They're actually going to show Bungie's Destiny, what the actual gameplay looks like. Because
just three dudes standing on a mountain.
Yeah, we have not seen shit. I mean, they announced it so long ago, and everyone's excited because it's a Bungie game, and it's going to be this strange hybrid open world. You know, it's unlike really anything we've really heard of before, but we haven't actually we haven't seen the game play yet, so this is going to be pretty exciting.
If it's not like Myth, I'm not buying it.
You are old school.
I'm old school.
Disappointed. Old school Bungie.
Myth or bust.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
Matt, do you want to talk about Titanfall? Because you sent me this link. So, or do you want me to talk about it? Okay. So Respawn, who used to be long ago, I guess the easiest way to describe it is Infinity Ward, got in this big argument with Activision. They broke away from Activision. At least the creators of Infinity Ward broke away from Activision and started their own independent studio called Respawn. And then no one heard anything from Respawn for well over a year. They kind of were working in secret.
2 years.
Has it been 2 years?
That's crazy.
Yeah. So. Yeah, pretty much. That's true. Yeah, it's in the very origins of our podcast, kind of go back to that. So Respawn hasn't really announced anything until just a few days ago. It got leaked that their game is going to be called Titanfall, and it is a crazy game about giant robots, and it is a multiplayer competitive, I guess, shooter slash, I don't know, like just a giant fucking mech game from all we know at this point.
Cool.
Like news is very
the screenshot or the not the screenshot but the image that we've seen is from the new Game Informer, and it's got a woman with a gun blowing a mech's face off.
She is badass. I love her.
Yeah.
Oh my god, is that Ellen Page?
Oh no.
She's in Titanfall as well, yeah. She's actually a giant Ellen Page robot that you can pilot. It's pretty interesting.
She's probably like my second favorite Canadian.
And this is to be announced at EA as well during the at E3 during the EA press conference.
Yes. Yeah. So.
Who's your favorite Canadian, Matt?
I don't know. I just didn't want to pigeonhole myself. I wanted
my
to leave.
Favorite Canadian.
I wanted to leave room.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at Matt and talking to Scott. I'm gonna go back to sleep. Just let me know. Just let me know when you need me.
You might want to stay upright for the rest of this podcast.
Yeah.
I think that sounds terrible.
Man.
Oh, wow. That's
awesome.
So anyway, Titanfall, we're very excited about it. Respawn has a pretty impressive pedigree, and we love giant robots. And honestly, I can't tell you the last really, truly impressive giant robot game that I played. Scott, how'd you like that Steel Battalion?
Oh, I opened up the package and put the disc in my console.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all I've done so far.
Yeah.
But I'm ready to do this and this and like drive the thing.
For our listeners, he's moving his arms. Wow. Yeah.
I'm waggling.
Good.
One of my favorite web series that has been out pretty much ever, Jerry Seinfeld did, and it's called Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. If you have not watched it, it's on YouTube and Crackle, and I think it actually is owned by Crackle, which is like a Sony property. But basically, it's just Jerry Seinfeld and one of his comedian friends in some awesome car of some sort, either like super old, like rare, weird car, or like super nice car, but rarely is it really nice. It's usually really old, weird ones. And then they go to some coffee shop, either in New York or LA, and they get coffee and they just talk kind of about comedy and about their history and things that they've done, or they tell stories, and it's absolutely hilarious, and it's really funny and just good in general. It's shot super well, but it is coming back for like season two. They've already announced that they're doing 24 more episodes, and I think it's split into two kind of half seasons. So go to Crackle.
Awesome.
It's really good. It's so good. It
that
came
is
out
super cool.
I think it came out about a year and a half ago.
Only on Crackle? Is that what you said?
Crackle or YouTube, I think.
Oh, okay.
I have the Crackle app on my iPad. I need to open that more.
I'm pretty sure everyone has only
really
downloaded the Crackle app and has never actually opened it.
Yeah. This is the only thing worthwhile on Crackle. But it is very good. So check it out. But they're coming back for season two. So if you haven't seen season one yet, you've got, I think, a few days. I think it comes back this week. So go check out season one and then watch season two. I think season one, the first episode's Larry David, and it's absolutely hilarious. And he has Ricky Gervais and Michael Richards and a bunch of other people on. So
Play like really random music like they do for Curb Your Enthusiasm?
They play like it's got a theme. It's all old school music like that. It's really good. It's done really well. I mean, honestly, it's probably one of the more like TV like web series that I've seen as far as like quality goes. So tis good. Check it out. It's coming back. So you guys, Mylin, you have to be up for this.
Yeah.
Wake up, Mylin.
Oh, hi.
Rise.
Yes. Okay.
Rise.
Wake up.
This is all stuff about you, so let's talk about you. Yeah.
It's not just about me. It's about Hillary, too.
Oh, good.
We submitted some panels for Geek Girl Con, and we're accepted. We just found out last week. And it's exciting. So we are doing two panels. Hillary, do you want to tell them about the first one?
Sure. So the title is Life as a Lone Wolf, and that's not woof, right, Lamyland?
Oh, my God. I'm writing a werewolf book, and I was apparently saying werewolf, which is not how you say it. So she won't leave me alone about it.
Can you say the word crayon?
Crayon.
Okay, I got it.
What is the thing that is on top of your house?
I did the same thing, Scott. I did the same thing.
Okay.
The roof. I know. I don't know what the... It's. I don't know.
I call it a roof. Sometimes.
Do you?
Yeah.
Sometimes just for variety's sake?
No, I think when I'm not paying attention, I'll call it a roof.
A roof? Do you wash the clothes?
I think both of you are right.
Both.
Oh, no. Okay, so it's called Life as a Lone Wolf, Tips for a Successful Freelance Career. And we're really excited to announce that Bonnie Burton... Star Wars crafting, LucasArts, amazing, awesome,
so cool, yeah.
Writer. Yeah. She's really amazing.
It's incredible.
She's going to be on it. And Jessica Marazin, which we all know and love, and also Holly Conrad.
Awesome.
So it's going to be really cool. Just talking about how to survive as a freelance. And Jessica's actually moderating, so that should lead to some really cool questions.
That's great. That's really, really cool. I've seen a number of panels with Bonnie, and she's absolutely hilarious, so it should be a lot of fun.
We're excited to have her. We think that it'll be great. One thing that I love about Geek Girl Con is the focus is on educating people, which I think is valuable.
Well, that's good.
Because I think that I have a lot to teach about words that I like to make up. But it's fun because a lot of things fall under the general geek girl umbrella. And Hillary and I have both been independently employed for a long time, and we have a lot to share about that. It's a tough business to start mm-hmm. in. And because you can't just be good at your job, you have to be good at business. And it's a completely different beast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, teach me something because I'm fucking terrible at the business aspect of it.
Well, I hate to say it, but sometimes you do have to work for free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to definitely be very careful when.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll be talking about things like that and like how to get your business started, and then hopefully providing people inspiration and perhaps some ideas on how to do that.
Awesome.
And then the second panel I'm super, super excited about too, because joining us will be Patrick and Karen Weeks.
Sweet.
Who everybody, we all love them so much. I wish we could have like a big round of applause for them
yeah.
in the panel, because they're so freaking amazing.
They are great.
But yeah, so it's called Playing God: What It Takes to Create a Universe. So it's about world building and, you know, writerly stuff.
That's
super cool.
Yeah, they're awesome. So much fun.
We actually talked to Patrick about that when we talked to him about his book.
Mm-hmm.
That's an awesome mm-hmm. panel.
We thought it would work well for them. And, you know, and then, of course, Hillary's working on a series. And my game book is part of a series. It's, we have the second book, Hex Boyfriends, coming out relatively soon. Actually, we're in beta on it right now. That they all take place in the same world. And I'm also working on a series of straight books. And Kenna Conklin from Geek Portland is going to moderate for us. Cool. So I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a good con. And Hillary and I are also talking to them about doing what's called Geek Girl Connections. It's a mentoring program.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, I think
it's important. What is the idea behind this Geek Girl Connections?
It's really just making yourself available to people who need mentoring, who want to ask questions and maybe want to figure out how to progress in their career path, or how to stay creative, or I mean, there are just so many things that people, you know, need help with and need to learn about. And so we know stuff.
Cool. We know things.
Yeah. I remember GeekCon a couple years ago. And I wasn't part of the Connections program, but I was on a panel talking about like sexism in the industry. And it was really cool because I had, you know, a good handful of people come up to me after the panel and, you know, ask me how I dealt with certain things, you know, at my day job, you know, just because I'm not always a freelance. I have another job outside of everything else as well. And it's a very, you know, corporate type position. Mm-hmm. And it's just really cool to be able to, like, you know, share with people, you know, some strategies for success, some ways to handle things, and then just kind of let them talk. Because a lot of times people just don't ever get the opportunity to voice their, you know, opinions about things, or they're afraid to talk to their boss about it, or, you know, whatever. So it's just really cool to have that open dialogue with people mm-hmm. and, you know, hopefully, you know, share some insight and hopefully help them. But sometimes just listening is the best thing. So it's really cool. I love Geek Girl Con. I think it's awesome. A great, great group of people.
That is cool.
And well, I can say too, like, I think that Hillary and I both have had people help us in the past, you know, and I think it's good to kind of pay that forward.
Mm-hmm.
I have one really important question though.
Yes.
Why can't there be a Geek Guy Con? This world is so sexist.
Do you know what's funny? Is that there are actually so many guys who go to Geek Girl Con.
Yeah, I'd imagine. I'm just kidding.
That's kind of like, I'm being
But why don't you
honest?
Just squash it? That's fine.
Yeah.
Jesus.
You know what else has been squashed?
What's that?
Why are we transitioning?
Yeah, there's no transition.
Darn it.
Alright, so I've been playing a game called State of Decay, which is done by a studio called Undead Labs based out of Seattle. It's a small studio. It's an indie game. The game is only $20, and I was not thinking that I was going to enjoy it as much as I have been enjoying it, but it is an incredible, incredible sandbox experience. You kind of take the role on of a survivor, and you don't really know much about the story. You don't know why the apocalypse happened. You kind of start off in this campground in the middle of nowhere, and it's up to you to really figure out how to survive. So you'll be on your own at first, and then slowly you'll find more survivors, and you'll kind of build a team and slowly build a base. And it's up to you guys to go out and find medical supplies and food and ammunition. For the first hour of the game, I only had a stick. And I would have to kind of fend off zombies with just this stick. Weapons like can degrade and break over time, so you have to be really careful about, you know, how many times you're going to attack enemies or if you're going to avoid zombies altogether. But it's a really interesting game because there are so many different systems involved. Not only is there there are base building components where you actually have to, you know, board up the walls of whatever place you decide to make your home. You actually have to make sure that all your survivors are happy. So there's like a social aspect to it as well. So someone might be pissed off. They might be too afraid. And if you don't talk to them and talk them down or help them out with whatever they might need, they might run off into the wild and disappear. My main character of the game, I didn't think it was possible for him to like not be in my game anymore. And I wasn't really dealing with like his emotional problems in the game, and he ran off and disappeared. And so I had to start playing as other survivors that I had found, which is interesting. So you can swap between all the different people that you discover and slowly build up a little community. And the goal is honestly just survival during this apocalypse.
So this game kind of looks like Don't Starve if we're set in Bright Falls.
Yeah, no, it is a lot like that. So part of it is like Don't Starve. You'll spend a lot of your time during the day out foraging for supplies. So you'll go into old abandoned homes and campsites and things like that and look for valuable material like guns or food or even building supplies. And you'll have to bring those back to your base. And then other survivors will use those materials to like fortify your base and make your home a little bit more safe. There are like giant roaming packs of zombies that come that you can't possibly defeat. So it's up to you to avoid them and try not to get eaten. I guess the best way to describe the gameplay itself is just to tell a quick survival story. So my main character started off in a campsite. And I think your character is different every time you play the game. So my character started off in a campsite and I didn't really know what the hell was going on. I had one buddy with me. And we were kind of exploring this campsite and we came back to a ranger station and everybody inside the ranger station had been killed. And so we decided that it was, well, we should get the fuck out of here. And these are all decisions that I'm making as the player. So right. You kind of create the story yourself as you go. So I decided I want to get out of the ranger station and go look for basically a new place to set up and maybe it would be a little bit safer. And so I steal a car. There are cars all over the place. The thing that's really cool about the cars is whatever damage happens to the car is permanent and the cars always remain in your game. So let's say you find a Ferrari, right? Or something or like super amazing. You're like, oh, I found a Ferrari. I can drive around in this. Well, if you crash into too much crap, your Ferrari is like forever damaged, right? So you have to be really, really careful with all the vehicles that you find because if you destroy them, they're gone forever. So I found a pickup truck. My buddy and I hopped in the pickup truck. And it's nighttime. It's scary as fuck. I turn the headlights on in the car. I peel out. I'm going down the street very, very quickly because there's zombies all over the place. I see a bridge. I'm going over the bridge, and the bridge is out. I can't stop in time. I go over the fucking bridge into a ravine. The truck is upside down. We crawl out of the truck. Now I'm in this ditch in the fucking pitch black, and there are zombies all over the place. And I have an objective marker that's way the hell out of there. So I have to run on foot during the zombie apocalypse. Like and try and fend myself, and I only have a stick at this point. Still,
would you say the map is really large?
The map is huge. I mean, it's a massive, massive area. Walking it from end to end would probably take, I don't even know, maybe an hour to walk it.
Wow,
driving
that's awesome.
Driving it would probably take like 10-15 minutes. So it's a huge, huge map. Finally, I found a base and things like that. But my friend had been bitten and he started getting sick. I found a community of other survivors. And one of the first things we had to do is go find medicine for my friend so that he didn't turn. And so I did a series of missions trying to heal him. And slowly this pastor was able to like heal him back to health. And these are after days of real time. So the sun will rise, the sun will set, and you'll be forced to go out and you know, run different missions to make sure different people in your community are happy. And after a couple days, my friend beat his zombie infestation. And after that, I was able to control him. And I'm like, oh, cool. So now I can play as this other guy that I helped. Once you befriend someone, you can play as them, and they might have different skills or abilities. Like, you might find someone who's like really good at shooting, or someone that's a really good forager or whatever. So I'm playing as this other guy, the guy that I just saved for a couple hours of gameplay. And I ran out with him to like go on a supply run, and I go inside this house, and there's people in there. They're like, we need help. The zombies are coming. Help us board up the house. And I'm like, okay. So I'm boarding up the house with this other guy that I just spent hours saving. So I board up the house, and all of a sudden zombies start like crashing through the windows, and I'm sitting there. I think I had a crowbar with this guy. So I'm sitting there with a crowbar, like fending off the zombies. And slowly like 10 zombies get in the house, and I'm like, fuck. And I'm trying to get out of the house to run away. But you have a stamina bar, and my stamina runs out, and I'm sitting there trying to catch my breath, and I get surrounded. So I get pinned down, and the guy that I just spent hours trying to save gets torn to shreds, like literally torn limb from limb. Death in the game is permanent, and injuries that your characters sustain are pretty much permanent. So if a character breaks their ankle, if they get sick, if they get the flu, all those things can happen in the game. So once someone is dead in your story, they're fucking dead. So they're just all of a sudden erased from the story is, you know, one of the characters that I tried so hard to save. It is really cool. It is a really bleak and dark experience, but it is a lot of fun. My only complaints with the game are it's a little janky, as they say. The animations aren't up to par. You can tell it's a small studio. It feels like it's running it's probably a proprietary engine, but it feels like it's running on maybe a similar engine to Grand Theft Auto 3 in terms of animation and things of that nature. So it's not that pretty to look at. But in terms of innovation and story quality, it's so much fun. And it's well worth $20. Like, I couldn't tell you, like, any other game, you know, that is like this at all on the market right now. So it's definitely unique and really a lot of fun.
So cool. I would just like to point out that you were the one that totally, like, lambasted me for stealing the car or stealing the supplies out of the car in The Walking Dead. So to hear you say things like, yeah, we just stole a car.
It's cool. Yeah.
We just raided this house and like took some food.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Mm. That's interesting, Ash. Mm. It's real. True. That's real interesting.
Getting back to that again.
I'm an evil bastard. No, but in my real answer to that is like, you can't survive in this game without kind of becoming a bit of a dick, because you have to go into people's homes, and granted, most of the homes you go into will be empty. Everyone's pretty much left this small town that you're in. And you know, you'll be searching desperately for the things you need, like medicine and food and things like that. But
like sweatshirts and food out of the back of a car.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it's cool. So I definitely recommend State of Decay. I was really, really surprised by it. And it's unique and very, very different. So check it out.
All right. Awesome. Matt, do you want to tell us about Food Fight?
Sure. Don't take that sigh as meaning anything.
Do you want me to describe
the game? Well, no. In our series of Cryptozoic games, the first one we played was, still cannot remember the name. Epic.
Spell Wars.
Spell Wars of the
Battle Wizards.
Battle Wizards duel at Mount Skullsfire.
Yes.
I think we just put it all together there. It was last week's game. This week we played a game called Food Fight, which has a much easier to remember title. But ironically, the cards have a lot more reading on them. This game is basically a kind of multiplayer war, like the card game War, where you each have this comical, like, historical references, but done with food, set of cards. You put a hand together, and then three, like, breakfast, lunch, and dinner will come out as wars. So, like, dinner might be like, they're battlegrounds. It might be like, name a war, Ash, and I'll come up with a comical food-related one.
Pearl Harbor was one of the basically big battles throughout history.
Yeah, but they're named different. So it'll be like Pearl
Onion Harbor.
Onion Harbor. Yeah. Whatever. Aww. Something like that.
It's all like wah, 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 wah.
The artwork's actually the artwork, I would say, is on par with the Battle Wizards one. The art was cool. But the game basically consists of you betting on trying to win one of those meals, because they're each worth different amount of points. And the goal is to get to 10 points. And once you win enough battles to get to 10 points, game's over. And whoever gets it wins. But the mechanic is you each choose, let's say there's four of you, you each choose which battle you want to do, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And then you, at the same time, all reveal which battle you want to go after. So one of you could end up by yourself on a battle, or three of you could end up, you know, on the same battle, or it could be two and two, which is usually what happened with us, weirdly. Two people would be fighting against one, and the other two would be fighting for the other one. And then it's war. Essentially, you randomly draw to your hand, and you have a number system, and whoever gets the highest number through a series of buffs and other things that you can do with your cards, you win, right? I mean, is that...
Yeah.
Am I describing it pretty well?
Mm-hmm. The thing that... You were not a fan of this game, necessarily.
I was not. No.
The thing that struck me about this game is that I feel like there were a lot of different game systems that were sort of bundled together to create Food Fight. So the thing that we didn't do when you guys played the game, when we all sat down to check it out, was the game is actually employs card drafting as well. So
do you want to explain card drafting, or can you? Because Yeah.
So like anyone that's ever done like a draft tournament for Magic the Gathering would be familiar with this format. But the whole idea of a draft is that, so in Food Fight, all the players are dealt nine cards. So what you would do in the draft is that you would look at these cards and you would choose one to go like into your actual hand. So you pick a card and then you pass the remaining eight cards to the player on your right or left, and then everyone will do this. So you would then get another hand of eight cards, and then you choose one card from that and you'd pass the remaining seven to the person on your right, and so on. So pretty much what you do is everyone goes around the table looking at, you know, if there's four players, there's four sets of cards that keep getting passed around until all the cards have been distributed. And then you use that hand to determine which battles you want to fight. So the reason why you do something like that, like this, is that it generally balances the quality of the cards that one player will get. And then it also creates an additional layer of strategy, because you at least know what cards exist to a certain extent. So you're like, okay, I know that like someone has like a, you know, Corporal Pancake, and then there's like a Professor Meatloaf Sandwich, and you know, so you kind of have an idea of what cards you might expect from other players in the game. So that's the whole idea behind card drafting.
The point I think you made, Ash, while we were playing, or it might have been, we played, Ash, myself, and then our two wives all played together, is that this actually makes for a great learning game. There's a lot of math involved. There's a lot of strategy with numbers. So you'll say like, oh, I have a five and this guy will give me plus three. And then if I play this card, the next three that come out might get plus two to them. And there's like a lot of math going on at any one time in any one of the rounds. And it, I think for like a middle school age kid, this would be like a fantastic like learning tool.
It is. It's great for, you know, for multiplication tables and all that kind of stuff. So third and fifth even.
There's a ton of it. But what turned me off was that for four of us sitting at a bar having a beer and playing a card game, this is incredibly like tedious. You're reading everything. You're trying to like, there's like five different phases to just your turn. So like, and then you have a hand, and then you have cards that you put down to, there's a lot of
it felt
tedium
like,
and
it
complication.
Felt like it felt
it really did.
And to me, like as someone who's played, you know, I played Magic when I was like 15 years old, and you know, I've been playing card games and everything forever. There was very little actual strategy for me. You know, for me,
the only real strategy was trying to outsmart your opponents to pick which meal you wanted to fight over.
Yeah, but then if you like the point, there's also this concept of a dog in the fight, and the dog was kind of the tiebreaker. So if you if two of you tied, and for whatever reason one of you wouldn't win automatically, then the dog would come into play and you'd play war with the dog's card numbers.
Personally, it was the dog that like kind of turned me off from the game, because I didn't like the idea that sort of this invisible hand would govern certain mechanics of the game, when I feel like the game should have been able to resolve itself without the dog.
Now, to balance this, I will say my wife absolutely loved the game and thought it was great. Liked it better than the Spell Wizards one, which kind of surprised me because that game was a lot of fun. But she really loved it. She loves math, though, too, so maybe it's just a math lover's game. I don't know.
You know what else? Now that you mentioned this, this game, Food Fight, is actually available on the iPad. And now that you've mentioned like all the math that's involved, I wonder if this would be maybe a more streamlined experience to play on an iPad where all of the crunching is being done for you, and then you can just focus on doing the card drafting and putting your hand together and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think the thing with the game for me was that it's not a terrible game by any means.
Oh,
I've played plenty worse games.
No, this is a good game.
It's a good game. It felt very tedious while I was playing it in the setting we were playing in. And when we really, I think when we sit down to play a card game or a board game, we really like to just kind of sit down and have fun and play. And like, strategy is great and that kind of stuff is good. But when at some point I feel like I'm trying to learn 7 different systems and do math 3 times before I can play a card.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just, I don't care that much about what I'm doing, you know, at that point.
Plus we were at a bar.
Really love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can note that all as caveats. I think it's a good game. I think it's an excellent learning game. If you have a family, I think it would be a fantastic family game for, like, kids that are probably, like, 12 and up.
Indeed.
To do math and learn that kind of stuff while you're sitting around. And it is very tongue-in-cheek and very kind of, the art's all fun and the names of the battles and the names of the different players are all really funny. So, recommended, definitely, but probably for a certain type of gamer, maybe not for everybody.
Yeah,
maybe the other iPad
game as well.
Yeah, maybe check it. Maybe if the math gets kind of taken care of, it becomes a little less tedious and then might be more fun. But Food Fight by Cryptozoic. So check it out if you see it. I think it's another one that's like $20 on Amazon. So none of these games are crazy expensive by any means.
Cool. So
Wait, hold on. I want to make sure Mylin is still awake.
I don't think she is. She's gone.
Hey, girl, you there? She fell asleep.
I was muted. I was muted. I was like trying to find the mute button. I'm like, I'm here.
Muted and snoring. She's like, unmute.
I won't lie. I'm really comfortable right now, but I'm still awake.
Good.
All right. So last in our reviews today, a friend of mine, Bill, actually, told me about a game called Gunpoint, which is now available on Steam and from the developer's website, which is gunpointgame.com. So Gunpoint is a retro styled 8-bit looking game about like spying and hacking and espionage, I suppose. And it kind of takes like an old school approach to the way that the game is presented. Like you talk to people on this like PDA device, and there's a lot of like kind of witty humor built into the game as well. But the whole point of the game is that you're presented with these like 2D platforming environments, and your character has these like magical pantaloons that allow him to jump into buildings kind of like Angry Bird style, and he can shatter windows and tackle enemies. But the real kind of like allure of the game is that you see these office facilities and you have this ability to hack the building and rewire pretty much all of the systems in the building. So what it ends up doing is it creates a puzzle game where you can kind of design your own solution about how you want to infiltrate the level. So to illustrate, pretty much you can't go face to face with a guard because they'll shoot you instantly and you'll die. But what you can do is you can say, rewire a light switch to control a door. And then when you turn the lights off, the guard comes over and he flips the light switch and the door opens for you and you can tackle the guard. And it's like all kinds of crazy stuff like that. You can tackle enemies out of windows, and it's really comical because there's this like glass breaking sound that happens every time you tackle somebody, and you can fall from like 5 stories and it doesn't harm you at all. So it's just really like a fun puzzle game where you have to break into buildings and hack computer systems and basically create your own solutions to figure out what to do.
That's cool. That sounds really innovative.
Yeah.
I've actually heard of both of the Birches speaking highly of this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really got a great sense of humor, and I really like that the game allows you to play it however you want. So if you really want to go in creating a bunch of noise and tackling people and breaking windows and like killing the guards and stuff, you can do that. And if you want to be completely silent and kind of do more of like a stealth approach to the levels, you can do that too. And it's just, there's something satisfying about like getting a guard to like walk back and forth, and then you can like knock the guard down with an automatic door. So like the door like will slap the guy in the face and it makes this really funny sound effect. It has like good sound design.
That's cool.
And it's got sort of an old spy theme kind of like orchestral soundtrack. So obviously you guys know that I'm into like spy stuff and, you know, hacking and whatever. So like these are themes that like It's an easy purchase for me, I guess. And so,
if you have a time machine, when you hear this podcast, you can go back one day and get 10% off of it.
Oh, sorry about that. The other thing that's funny too is the game has an like quote unquote autosave system. So, let's say you walk into a building and you didn't see a guard and the guard just shoots you. You can autosave, like you can load an autosave from 2 seconds ago, which is essentially the point where you walked into the building and got shot. So it'll be like, do you want to go back 2 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds? And it's all like critical points before you like screwed something up in the game pretty much.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it really, it's not like, it's not a game that encourages like a hardcore player to like go through and play in a certain way. It's really just like, here's a playground. Here's a bunch of stuff that you can rewire and hack. Come up with a fun solution to like infiltrate this building and take out all the guards and get through the building without being detected.
I like the sound of that. I also like the sound of magical pantaloons.
Magical pantaloons.
The game gives some funny names to like the guy's like jacket and, you know, trench coat and pants. So kind of explains the way that he's allowed to jump from like a 5-story building and not die. But it's really funny. So I would encourage people to visit gunpointgame.com. And I was pretty much sold on the trailer alone, but you can also download a demo on Steam. And I think you'll definitely be hooked.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet. Hey, this is Elizabeth from BioShock Infinite, and you're listening to Rated NA.
So we're back with our Naquato, and the Naquato this week is, what is your most outlandish E3 2013 prediction? And we thought we'd have a little bit of fun and let you guys come up with some zany ideas for what's going to happen this week.
Whoa.
How did that? Was that good enough?
I love radio,
Scott.
Yeah.
That was
amazing.
That was free beer and hot wings.
Beer and hot wings. Somebody in South Carolina is like, I know who that is.
Yeah, somebody in South Carolina is laughing at that one right now. We like to aim our jokes very specifically.
It's regional regional comedy, you guys.
Yeah.
Story for later.
Okay. So Chris Jenkins says, Sony and Microsoft both reveal that their next-gen online services will be free, and both consoles will retail for $99 or less, but will feature a monthly subscription fee of $20, $30 if you want to play used games. We all do this with our cell phones, but Microsoft has already tested the waters by doing this with a 360 model recently. Just wait. I don't know that that's outlandish. That might be a little too true.
Yeah. True predictions. All right, next up is Eric at eChap33 on Twitter, and he says, Nintendo pulls a Sega and quits making consoles, Mario Party on Kinect and PlayStation Move, or maybe that really happens at E3 2015.
Sega!
To be honest, not to be a negative Nancy Pants here, but I would not be surprised if Nintendo does drop out of the console race in a couple years.
I would not be surprised if Nintendo's consoles became first-party only games.
Yeah, well, they're going to kind of have to.
Yes, that is true.
They are kind of working their way into that.
Not on purpose, but the new games can't run on the Nintendo, so they're kind of screwing themselves.
Alexi Staffer at Axe Staffer says Xbox One and PS4 gamers will be able to play together cross-platform on titles like Bungie's Destiny. # if wishes were horses.
Yeah, I don't see that one happening. But that
would be
outlandish.
Pretty cool, though.
That would be super cool. I think we've been wishing for that one for a while.
Platinum Fist Carlos says Dreamcast 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all wish, man.
How about just another fucking Power Stone game?
Yeah.
For real.
What happened to that title? Who made it? Why is it gone?
Capcom.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Hey, but there's a new DuckTales remake coming out, so that is a good game, but I'd still rather have a Power Stone.
Yeah.
DuckTales. Woo-hoo.
So, Ash.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us what your outlandish E3 prediction is?
My outlandish E3 prediction is that
it's an hour and a half podcast.
Come on, Ash.
Sorry. Sorry, I was role playing as Mylan.
Sleepy That's slam. So
it's really kind of you. Thank you for being so nice to your guest.
Oh, we love you. My outlandish E3 prediction is that Microsoft will finally debunk all of the rumors that the always on is always on and it'll only be partially on or something like that.
Is that outlandish?
It's outlandish.
Okay.
It's
outlandish.
I'm reaching here. That's why it's outlandish, because it's not going to happen.
Mylan, you get to read one.
Oh, okay. Where
were we? You know where we are in the list?
Hold on. Let me sit up. Let me get comfortable here.
Eggs and bakey.
Okay. So, Aaron, you gave me the name that Schechner. I can't pronounce.
Schechner.
Aaron Schechner at Omega One Alpha. Microsoft will continue to support the 360 alongside the One for the next 10 years. I wish. Frowny
Sad
face.
Yeah.
8-bit video game bar at 8-bit gamer bar says, the next gen Nintendo console, the Nintendo Wii Boohoo.
Aww.
Nintendo.
Scott, I feel like you should follow that one.
You mean like what's my own?
Yeah. No, I wrote, just follow it.
Just follow it.
Just very close.
I wrote 3 because I had 2 cups of coffee this morning.
Yes.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready. My body is ready.
Okay.
My body is ready too.
Oh God.
Mine isn't.
Prediction number 1. Sony will announce that the PS4 must connect to your Xbox One every 24 hours in order to play games. Zing.
Dig it.
Okay, next one. Okay. Well, we're warming up here. Microsoft will debut its revamped 4x3 interface for tube televisions.
Hey!
I am so sick of this console generation having to accommodate 4x3 TVs. Can we just box out with the Xbox One, just all 16x9? Can we just do that?
I know, really?
Seriously.
I support that.
They don't even sell box TVs anymore.
I know. It's like, right. Okay, so number 3. The beginning of Sony's E3 presentation will be interrupted by an unavoidable system update, followed by a PlayStation Home update, followed by a PlayStation Store update.
Love it.
There we go.
I love that.
Zing.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Man.
Save the best for last.
Okay, right. So Justin Banks and Midtown 583, the PS4 and Xbox One will become self-aware and declare themselves Autobots or Decepticons.
There we go.
I love that.
Which one's which?
PS4 is definitely a Decepticon.
I'm just going to call Skynet.
Yeah.
All right. Anorax Oasis says, a new Gex game with voice actor Geico Gecko. Yep, that'll do.
That's
I'm so sick of that fucking Geico Gecko. When I see those commercials, I want to hurt myself.
Yeah, especially the one where he's like acting and he's sitting in the room with the editor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad. I don't know. Yeah.
They're really bad.
That guy's probably filthy rich too.
Probably
you know?
Is.
So oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Justin D at Jushin says the old school Wii will receive a price cut. It's going to be like $20.
Free gift with purchase. That actually goes right into my prediction.
All right.
So I think that that someone will announce the Atari Infinity.
What is
that? You can play it with your mind.
What?
All right.
That's my prediction.
I like this idea.
It might be a homeless guy in front of E3 that announces this, but somebody will announce it.
I like it.
With a sandwich board walking around.
Mm-hmm.
Atari Infinity is coming.
It might be me.
You're a homeless guy?
Oh.
You never know.
Oh, yeah, okay. Things happen.
Sleepy Mylan will bring that.
Right. Ryan at Physics for Poets says, in addition to an upgraded Pizza Hut app, Xbox One will double as a wormhole generator.
And then Morgan Freeman will come in and talk about it.
Yes, perfect.
Well, can you imagine if the Xbox One's voice recognition doesn't work that well and then all of a sudden a pizza shows up at your house?
That'd be amazing.
That would be amazing.
I would be all about that.
I'm all right with that, actually, yeah. That'd be the best glitch ever created.
Oh, my God.
Unless it's, like, bad pizza, you know, it's like you can't ever get the toppings you want. It's always, like, extra anchovies and onions.
All right. So Andrew Baker at abakern7 says, along with all the other Final Fantasy announcements, they will finally announce a remake of Final Fantasy VII, placating fans everywhere. This remake will then take 10 years to complete and be renamed Duke Nukem Forever 2.
Nice. In the year 2000.
Right. Year 2000.
Oh, boy.
Mylan, did everybody go? Hillary, did you do one? I didn't do one.
I didn't.
Think Hillary and I...
Yeah,
we didn't go. You go, Hillary.
Okay. Microsoft and Sony will be giving away free consoles like crack to kids.
I like that.
That's like a dream, not just a prediction.
Have you under your seat.
Under your seat.
Like Oprah.
And you get an Xbox One. And you get an Xbox One.
You get a new console.
Oh, my gosh.
Oprah impression.
Oh, I loved it.
Impression.
It was not lost on me. That was great.
Yeah.
Mine is that Microsoft is going to come out and announce that they were just kidding the whole time and the Xbox One will run on Windows ME.
Oh, no.
That was a technology joke.
Yay! All right, so Rasmus Van Nielsen says Fantasia will be closing the entire show with a live IRL demo as inspired by a video he has. Towards the end, the entire convention center is leveled by a paint explosion. It would trump the Nintendo fireworks show.
That's
he says,
awesome.
Or Mirror's Edge 2 will be the serious title for Kinect. The game will only be playable using the Kinect. A demo featuring various CEOs jumping around will achieve YouTube fame.
Oh, God. I'm very terrified of if that were to actually happen.
That would be incredible.
Okay, so I guess we got something in our mail sack this week.
Oh, no.
It's like Scott has drops. That was like near perfect.
Wow.
No, we got a great mail.
You have a great mail sack?
Great mail sacks.
We got a great letter from Andrew Baker, and I'm just going to go ahead and read the letter because it was awesome. He says, so I listened to episode 106 last weekend and I really enjoyed it. I tweeted Tuesday night that I sat down to play Bioshock Infinite based solely on the episode and interview with Courtney Draper. I wanted to tell you just how significant that actually is. I had little interest in Bioshock Infinite, and first-person shooters hold very little interest to me. Call of Duty and the rest just seem like the same recycled game over and over and over with different controller maps. I've been an RPG guy all my life, from D&D in high school to Eye of the Beholder, Neverwinter Nights, and KOTOR on the PC, Jade Empire, Mass Effect, and Dragon Age on the consoles.
Nice.
It's always been about the story, and it needs to be good. The strength of the interview and the passion of Courtney and her character, Elizabeth, and the reactions of all you to the game in a previous podcast gave me some of the reasons to reconsider my stance. Let me reiterate, I despise FPS games, so this was a huge step for me. The guys at EB Games, who know me pretty well, asked me who it was for and was shocked when I said it was for me. I haven't logged that much time in it yet, but I managed to get and rescue Elizabeth, and I've been very impressed with everything, gameplay, voice acting, and the very strange story unfolding around me. While I continue to reserve judgment for the game or genre as a whole, thanks for steering me toward this one. So that was very, really cool of him.
Thank you, sir.
That.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He should check out Tomb Raider, too.
Yeah, he'd like Tomb Raider, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
Rasmus,
thanks.
We actually got two, because Rasmus also emailed me for mail sack.
Why does it gotta be mail sack?
It's a sack full of mail. What do you think this is? I'm so confused.
This is totally decided without me.
Maybe. I remember an email chain with you signing off on it.
Yeah, I remember you said mail sack sounds like a great idea.
That is not what happened.
I'm all over the mail sack is what you said.
That's what I remember.
Sometimes.
I remember all of
Ash.
Oh.
I'm calling your mom.
His mom listens to this. It's not.
It.
I mean, she knows this.
Who do you think
about.
Talks
still,
to be smutty?
I'm still going to talk to her.
She listens, and then every week, my like most heartwarming moment of the week is when his mom likes our podcast on Facebook, and then's like, "You guys are so funny," and
Mylan,
I love it.
Mylan, you can actually talk to.
Well, then I'm calling my mom.
You can you can talk to his mom right now if you want to. Do you have a message?
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say hi and. You know, it's really nice getting to know you through your son, and you did a good job there.
He's okay.
I was not expecting
He's
that.
Okay. We like him.
He's okay at what
and
he
I
does.
And I just like to tease him about calling you because, you know.
Thanks.
He doesn't do any good.
So
you can't do anything with him either.
Back to the mail sack, guys. Yeah. Rasmussen and I had a couple back and forth, but he made one point I wanted to mention, because I had said something about, which I often bring up, the fact that we forget many times that the game business is a business and they are trying to make a living at this. Mm-hmm. And he said,
how
people
dare
always,
they?
He said people always tend to mention that the games industry, like any other industry, needs to make money. Sometimes I wish that wasn't the case. Call of Duty may be a yearly money train for Activision, but that doesn't mean everyone should be putting out their franchises on a yearly basis. Mm-hmm. He's like, it's naive to ignore the business side of the gaming industry, but considering how games partly are for escapism, it would be nice to do sometimes.
It's good. It's
really, I thought it was well put, because we do tend to go like, oh, God forbid they want to make money. But, you know,
Yeah. It
is true that they are also making things that are supposed to be fun at the heart of it. So,
yeah. I'm a businessman.
Good stuff.
Not a businessman.
If only the world could work on thought bubbles.
If only.
If only.
And rainbows.
All right. So that about wraps things up for episode 108 of the Rated NA podcast. We did it.
Mylan, wake up. We made it to the end.
Oh, hi. Yes. Yay.
Yay. All right.
Wow. I don't know if I've ever had anyone on this podcast that's this enthusiastic about being here.
I'm at once like completely unenthusiastic and very enthusiastic. I like to keep you on your toes.
Thank you.
It's okay. It's okay, because Ash finally gets to feel what it feels like when somebody's super tired on the podcast and just kind of sitting there for most of it.
Yeah. Sorry.
Those are the late night podcasts with Scott or with Ash.
Yeah, that's me. Me. Past 9 o'clock when we podcast, I'm like a Zamboni. But we'll be back next week with our big
wait a minute
post.
Hold on,
yeah,
is a Zamboni a zombie zombie Zamboni machine?
Why yes. Why yes,
is it a zombie driving a Zamboni, or no, it's a Zamboni that came back to life from death?
It's a Zamboni made of human flesh.
So ew. And if there were supplies on that Zamboni, would you yell at me for taking them?
Oh, God.
Why would a Zamboni have supplies on it?
A Zamboni.
I would always yell at you for taking the supplies. You're a terrible person.
Shut your mouth. As being a guest in your home, I would like to register that I do not agree with Ash on this particular topic.
You. I'm just kidding.
You're a wonderful person. Please don't hurt me.
It's nice to have you back, Hillary.
Please don't hurt me. So anyway, we'll be back next week with episode 109. Next week, we'll have special guest Ashley Birch on the show to talk about E3. Suck a butts. And she'll be here to talk about Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep and E3. And we'll have a whole lot to talk about next week. So definitely tune in. As always, you can find us on Twitter at NerdAppropriate. You can email us all directly. And
wow.
It is Matt, Scott, Ash, 1S, and Hillary, 1L, at NerdAppropriate.com. Mylan, where can they find you?
You can find me on MySpace.
No. That's not real.
Yeah, it's really old. I haven't updated in like 7 years. But
wow.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Mylan B.
Did you stay on MySpace just to try to meet Justin Timberlake?
Didn't you?
Everybody knows he owns it now, right? That's the joke there.
Okay, cool.
As long as we're all on board, you don't have to laugh at the jokes. It's fine. Yeah. But if you understand them, that's the least I'm asking.
It's Sean Parker. I mean, Justin Timberlake.
What?
I get it. Social network.
Oh, I get it. Mm-hmm.
That was an intelligent joke, guys.
Instead of us laughing at each other's jokes anymore, let's just explain them after they're done.
All right.
Did you get that?
Funny because...
It actually works on several levels.
All right. We'll be back next week. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Hugs and kisses.
Thanks for hanging out.
Bye, everyone.
And to be honest,
pause really quick, Ash.
Yeah.
Can you move your mic up like 1 inch? Like angle it. There you go. Love you too, buddy. Go ahead. That's too far. Too far. Too far. Bring it down.
I don't know.
Bring it down.
No, this is not right.
Bring it down. Just an inch. Bring it down an inch. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, that just looks snobby.
Whoa.